what's going on in your mind? Now, for some of us, you think to yourself, you don't want to know. That's a scary place. That's not a place you want to find yourself in, because there's a lot of swirling. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of sleeplessness. There's, for all of us, we have that. But here's what we think is true. There's something is shaping our mindset. There is something that is causing our mind to lean in that direction. And if we're honest, and I think it's partly just the culture that we live in, our minds can get really, really crowded really easily. What about this? And how's this all going to work out? And what, I don't know how this is going to happen. And all these important questions and good questions, but they can crowd out some of the more important questions. We've got to-do lists. Some of you are thinking about your to-do list already, and you're making your shopping list, and we've got to do the Walmart pickup, and we've got to do this, and then on Tuesday I've got this, and it's just the swirl that's going on, and that's natural, and that's fine, unless it's pushing out what God wants our mind to be set on. Craig Groeschel, a great pastor, he's got this great quote. We did a whole series on this several years ago. A lot of you weren't here, but he said this, that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so if my strongest thoughts are what about and how is it going to work and all these things, that pushes my life in that way. And you know this. This isn't even a Christian thing. This is just a thing, that our mindset as we go through life, it really determines a lot of our life. It determines how am I going to approach challenges. It determines how am I going to navigate hardship. Just what I move in, where my mind goes and where my mind moves into, well, really my emotions follow, and my state of mind kind of is the steering wheel of my life. The way that we treat people is often a context, and it comes from the context of, well, where is my mind, and how we think about challenges, and how we think about unexpected things, and how we think about people we don't like. It has this huge impact, and again, you don't need me to tell you this, has huge impact on how do we navigate through life. Because if you think that your future is bleak and it's uncertain and there's all sorts of question marks, well, you're going to lean into, your mind is going to lean into some anxiety and some sleeplessness, and you might have a little bit of a shorter fuse. If you think that your future is bright, if you think that there's a path that God is leading you to, well, you're going to start each morning with the recognition, okay, it's a new day to grab a hold of opportunities. It's a new day to experience some challenges, but because God is with me, I can make it through. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's winding up this full armor of God, the very last thing that he says is, you've put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, you have the shoes of the gospel of preparation of peace, you've got the shield of faith, you've got the sword of the Spirit. And now here's what I want you to do at the very end. I want you to take up that helmet of salvation. I want you to put on your head. What does a helmet do? Well, it protects your head. It protects your mind. It protects your thoughts. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he kind of expanded on this idea. He said it this way, kind of gives us a little bit more of a deeper understanding of what he was talking about. But since we belong to the day, which just means that because we're following Jesus, let us be sober. Let's think about life properly, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. And then he says, not just the helmet of salvation, but the hope of salvation as a helmet. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying, and I think it's helpful for all of us, is that you've got to protect your mind. That because we have salvation awaiting us, we have the hope of salvation, that really shapes and changes how I live today. Now, when you're reading the New Testament particularly, you need to understand, this is just a quick theology lesson, then we're going to get into the practical. But what you need to understand when you're reading the New Testament is the New Testament has, it says saved in three different contexts. So there's the past salvation, that we have been saved. You have been saved. That was your Easter moment. That is the moment that you cross that line of saying, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's done all that he says that he will do, that he died, then he rose again, and he because of his death, my sins are forgiven. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Past. Through faith, it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So that is the salvation that starts everything. It's salvation that cleanses me of my sin, because of what Jesus has done. If you want the theological word for it, it's called justification. I am justified with God through faith in Jesus. But it's not just that I have been saved. When we think about being saved, we think maybe about a prayer that I've prayed sometime. And that's good. You can't go any further without that. But that's not what all that saved means. There's also that you are being saved. So there's the past and there's the present. This in the theological word is called sanctification. It's the idea of that because of what Jesus has done, I'm justified through him, and now I want to day in and day out shape my life to become more and more like the image of Jesus. 1 Corinthians says it this way, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are to those of us who are being saved. So I was saved because of Jesus, and now day in and day out, the way that I think, the way that I talk, the way that I interact with people, all the different decisions that I make, they're being shaped. I'm being saved. I'm being sanctified. I'm becoming more and more like the image of Jesus. It's the power of God. And then what the Apostle Paul is talking about with the helmet of salvation is future. You will be saved. Past salvation, justification. Current, working out the salvation, sanctification. Future salvation, if you want the theological term, is glorification. It's heaven someday. That's the great hope that we have, that when this life is over, it's not over, that we're just passing through, that we are going to be saved. This is what Paul said in Romans. And do this, understanding at the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation, future, down the road, I've been saved, I'm living my life being saved, and then our future salvation, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What Paul's talking about is that your death is nearer now than it used to be, that your death today is nearer than it was yesterday. And that's not this creepy thing, that's not this morbid thing, it's just reality. The death is coming for it's all. And here's why this is important. Here's why it's important that we put on this helmet of salvation. Because, and you know, again, you know this, the world can crush your hope. You can get so caught up in the weeds of just this moment, right now, today, I've got to put out this fire, and I've got this problem, and I've got this issue, that I have no hope about tomorrow. I'm just right here, right now. And I end up weary, I end up discouraged, I find myself being tempted to give up. And when I lose hope, a lot of times I lose heart, and I can quit fighting. And so the Apostle Paul says, I want you to get your eyes up. I know you've got some problems. I know you've got some issues. I know that life has not went the way that you expected it to go, and the relationship isn't working, and the business had to close, and you thought you'd be pregnant right now, or you lost the pregnancy, or whatever it is. And if you just get caught in the here and the now, it's really hopeless. But he says, put on hope as your the hope of salvation. Put on salvation as a helmet. It'll guard your mind that there is something beyond right now, that I don't have to be focused on just this moment and this problem. Let me introduce you to this wonderful, wonderful lady named Florence Chadwick. Now, Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim across the English Channel, and she swam across it both ways, and she gave herself this challenge of swimming from Catalina Island to the California coast, and that's 26 miles. And so she gets into the water, and she starts swimming, and this dense, dense fog lowers down. You can read about it for yourself later. It's really great. She's got all these boats kind of surrounding her and kind of, you know, making sure she's safe and all these things. 15 hours into the swim, the fog has continued to be just, you can't see anything. She's swimming. 15 hours into the swim, she says, Get me into the boat. I cannot do this anymore. I'm totally exhausted. I cannot swim another moment. They get her into the boat, and what they realize, the fog begins to lift, and they kind of see where they're at, and she's only a half mile from shore. She was nearly there, and here's what she said. It's such a profound statement. I think that if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. What is she saying? Well, I needed some hope. When I was just here in the moment and right now, all I could see is, man, I've just got another swim stroke and another stroke, and I couldn't see that, oh, the shore is coming closer. There wasn't the hope of I'm getting closer, and that's what we do when we don't have that helmet of salvation on. I get so bogged down in this moment, right here, right now, and I don't recognize that there is something better coming along. And so Paul points to this idea that when my life and when your life feels foggy, when it feels like all I can do is just see the next fire that I have put out, that we can lift our eyes up and I can live today in light of what's coming. So here's the big idea for today. If you fall asleep, if you can't make it through the end of the service, here's the big idea that I want you to grab onto, that my future hopes, the hope that I have of salvation, well, that impacts my present reality. That if I'm not careful, the only thing that impacts my present reality is the problems in my present reality. But if I can put on that helmet of salvation, I know that this is not all there is. I have been saved. Christ is sanctifying me. He is helping me to work out that salvation. But as I put on that helmet, I recognize, oh, the shore is on its way. And it feels in this moment that I'm just swimming stroke after stroke, and I'm not sure I'm making any progress. But when I can lift my eyes up and get above the fog, I can say, oh, this is not all that there is. I know that it feels urgent and important and devastating in the moment, but that hope of salvation, it shapes my worldview. It shapes how I go through grief. It shapes how I deal with all the different parts of my life. It helps me to recognize that suffering, it is temporary and it is painful, but it's not forever. It helps me to recognize that my best life, no matter what the commercials say, my best life is not right now. My best life is coming because of a future salvation. Wearing this helmet, it helps me to fix my eyes on not just the here and the now. I'm not saying that anything that you're going through now isn't difficult. Of course it's difficult. And of course it's painful. And of course it's real. And nobody's asking you to put your head in the sand and just have this kind of this strange idea, oh, it's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. But it's not the only thing. There's something bigger at stake, that we can put on salvation as our helmet. So just briefly this morning, these aren't all inclusive, but I just picked out five that I think maybe some of us might be going through. If you're not going through them today, you might go through them in the future. And if you can put on the helmet of salvation, you're going to live day in and day out later. Here's what it's gonna help you to do. Number one, it's gonna help you to grieve hopefully. We all recognize that, man, there's loss in the world. You've been to funerals. You've been to graveside. You've lost somebody that you love. And in the moment, it's so devastating. I can't even breathe. I can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. And Paul says, put on helmet of salvation. Because when you do that, you recognize this life is not the only life. There is something bigger coming. Paul says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, about those who have died, about your mom that's died, about your brother or your child, whatever that looked like. We don't want you to be uninformed. We don't want you to be hopeless, in other words. We don't want you to have to swim through that in a fog so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, because they have no hope. They're just swimming that, well, this is all there is. And so I never get to see them again. I saw them for the last time and it's over. For we believe the people that have been saved, the people that are saved and have helmet of salvation on our head, recognizing there's a future salvation coming, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, past salvation. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, future salvation. What is Paul saying? That we don't grieve without those that have hope, that we do grieve. And of course we're sad, but we grieve differently. That we recognize that this is not all there is. We don't deny there is deep, deep, deep sorrow, but our sorrow is infused with hope. It's infused with, oh, I've not seen them for the last time. I've seen them for the last time here, but there's coming a day, because of the helmet of salvation, I'm gonna see them again. Here's what Paul is saying. When we grieve differently, we remember death is not the end of the story. It's the end of this chapter, but it's not the end of the story. And so when I put on that helmet of salvation, it can reshape even my deepest, deepest grief. And let me just tell you, I've stood at the gravesides of many, many funerals. I've done countless funerals. And let me just tell you, there is a difference. There's a difference between those who have hope and those who don't. Everybody's sad, but there's something going on under the surface. There is a hope for those that have been saved, are saved, and had the helmet of salvation on their head because they recognize it's the end of the chapter, it's not the end of the story. And so when you put on the helmet of salvation, I know that it's sad, and of course it's devastating, and of course you miss them. But if they had been saved, and if they followed Christ in this life, you will see them again. And so we grieve hopefully because of the helmet of salvation. And then here's the second thing that we have to do. We live holy. I grieve hopefully, but then I also, that current salvation is something that I focus on. I focus my life on because I have been saved and I will be saved. In this moment, I need to work out that salvation. I need to shape my life. How does Jesus want me to live? I'm a teenager getting ready to go into eighth grade, or I'm getting ready to go into high school, or I'm getting ready to go into college, I'm getting ready to go into the workforce, I'm married, I'm doing all the different seasons and times of my life. I want to say, Jesus, how do you want me to live in this moment, right here, right now? I recognize that I'm gonna meet you sometime in heaven, and because I'm gonna meet you sometime in heaven, I wanna change how I live today. John said it this way, dear friends, now we are children of God, past salvation, and what will be future has not been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, future salvation, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he says this, all who have this hope in him, that hope is future, purify themselves just as he is pure. So Paul connects hope with holiness. That when I recognize, I put on the helmet of salvation, and I know that I'm going to see Jesus face to face soon, well, that changes how I live today. And you know this because you've all done this. Some of you have had, all of you have had, a special guest come into your house. And you knew they were coming. You knew they were going to ring the doorbell. And you took action because of a future thing that was going to happen. You cleaned the house, or at least threw everything under the bed, or put everything in a closet that you were confident that they wouldn't open. And maybe you lit a candle, and you cooked the meal, and you put away the dishes, and you invited your husband to take his socks off of the floor and put them into the basket that the socks are right next to. I've seen this movie. We've all been there. But here's what you did. You knew that there was something coming, and that impacted your present reality. That's what Paul is saying. Put on the helmet of salvation. Prepare yourself that Jesus is going to be face to face with me someday. And because there's a someday coming, that impacts me today. That's why the helmet of salvation matters. It guards my mind against apathy. It guards my mind against, well, I'll just do whatever feels good in the moment. If I live in the fog, and if I'm just paddling along with no future hope of seeing Jesus, then I just go with wherever the winds of desire take me. And if I want to do this, I'll do it. And if this feels right, I'll say it. And if my emotions tell me this, then this is the direction I go. But when I put on salvation as my hope, I recognize, oh, I'm going to see Jesus. And because something in the future is coming, it's going to impact what I do today. Here's a wonderful prayer that you should all consider. I just dare you. I just dare you this week to pray this prayer, recognizing as a helmet of salvation, I grieve hopefully, but I also live holy. Here's how this could look. Here's how this could look. Just try this prayer. Some of you, you're not sure how to pray. That's okay. Let me just show you. This is exactly how you pray. Search me, God. That's kind of scary. Like, because all of us can put on the church face, and all of us know how to look the part. But when I open up my life and say, God, look inside the part of me that I hide away from everybody else. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if, here's the most important part, see if there's any offensive way in me. In other words, you're asking God, hey, God, if you want to point some things out in my life, then I want to be aware. If there are some things, some attitudes, some thoughts, some decisions, some direction that my life is going, search me, pointed out, and then the understanding is when it's pointed out, I'm going to live differently. That holiness is about readiness. Holiness is not about fear, oh, God's gonna get me. Holiness is, oh, I'm gonna see Jesus at some point. And because I'm gonna see Jesus at some point, that impacts how I live today. People ask me, because they watch the news and they see all the craziness and they see the wars and they see all the things that are happening and they read Revelation. And so then I get this text that says, man, is this the end? Like, is Jesus coming back soon? And here's what I tell them, and here's what I'll tell you. I don't know, and I know that's not very encouraging, but I have no idea. But here's what I do know. Are we living in the last days? I don't know, but here's what I do know. You're living in your last days. I'm living in my last days. Is the world living in its last days? I don't know, but I'm living in my last days. That life is so fast, and it is coming to an end so quickly. So whether the world's in its last days or whether the world has thousands of years left, it doesn't really matter, because I'm living in my last days. And so I better put on the helmet of salvation, recognizing because of the hope of salvation in the future, that's going to impact. Well, I don't have to be driven by my emotions. I don't have to be driven to stab them in the back because they stabbed me in the back. I don't have to choose gossip because they gossiped about me. I can choose to live holy because of something future that's coming. What do? We grieve hopefully. We live holy, and then we think eternally. And I'm with you. We ask the question at the very beginning, what's going on in your mind? How's your thought life? And for most of us, we just think about, and I'm guilty of it, I think about this moment right here and right now, and I've got to get them over here, and I've got this schedule to keep, and I've got this thing going on, and I've got this to-do list, and I checked off one thing in my to-do list, and then three got added, and I've got this fire to put out over here. Oh, it's just exhausting. It's just exhausting. And some of you came in this morning exhausted. You didn't sleep at all last night. Your mind is just swirling. What about? What about? What about? Paul says, Colossians, since then, you have been raised with Christ. So because you had a past salvation, that you were raised from death to life because of Christ, set your hearts on things above. Take a different perspective. Move your eyes up a little bit where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Future salvation. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Here's what that helmet of salvation does. When I put it on every day, it guards my mindset. And so I am not so focused on just this moment right here, because again, I recognize this is not all there is. And if I wear myself out, and if I get stressed, and if I get anxious, and I get overwhelmed by just this moment right here, right now, I might miss out on what God is leading me to in the moment, because I'm just so silent. Isn't it true that the things that you were worried about last year ended up okay? And the things that you spent hours and hours and your mind was swirling and you were so anxious, isn't it true that you wasted a lot of time? Jesus said, who can add any moment and any hour of their life by worrying? Well, I can't. I can't worry problems away, and you know that. Have you ever worried so well that your problems evaporate? You haven't. I promise you haven't. Now, you've worried yourself into being sick, and you've worried yourself into having a short temper, and I've worried myself into not having any sleep, but I've never worried a problem away. What happens? Well, I get so focused on the here and the now. And it's, again, I'm not inviting you to ignore it. I'm just saying that this is not all that there is, that we can live with eternity in view. And here's what happens when I put on the helmet of salvation. It changes what I value. It changes how I spend my time. It changes where is my energy invested. It changes what I chase after. Because if I'm just living in this moment right now, then I've got to keep up with the Joneses, and I've got to go here, and I've got to do this, and I've got to have this experience. And thinking eternally, here's what it does. It means I stop trading what matters the most for what matters now. When I don't have that helmet of salvation, the only thing I focus on is the here and the now, and what matters today, and what matters right now, and what fire do I have to put out. But when I put on that helmet of salvation and I see, oh, there's something bigger. well, I don't have to trade what is important right now and what seems so urgent right now for the glory of what is in the future. It impacts how I spend my calendar, my relationships, my money. All of my priorities get filtered through this different lens of there's eternity. And so I don't have to spend these few hours that I have so focused on this thing. I can recognize, oh, there's something bigger. I recognize when I have eternity in mind, I recognize, oh, I've only gotten my kids at my house for 18 years. So I can't say yes to everything every single day because, well, there's something bigger at play. David says one of my favorite verses. If you've been here very long, you've heard me say it. I've got the wrong verse up here. Here's what it actually says. I plugged the wrong verse in. It says, teach me to number my days that we can gain a heart of wisdom, that put on that helmet of salvation, and it invites us. God, I want to recognize my days, man, they're so limited. And when I recognize my time is limited, I limit how I spend my time. Teach me to number my days. Help me to think with eternity in mind. What do we do when we put on that helmet of salvation? Well, I grieve differently, and of course you're gonna grieve. Of course you miss them, but we grieve with hope, and I live holy. Some of you this week, this is the only thing you need to do this week, is you just need to pray that prayer. Search me, know me. Don't pray anything else if you don't want to, just pray that prayer. Point out anything in me that offends you, because if it offends you, well, I want it to offend me. That's the important part. That we don't want to be okay with things that offend God. Are you tracking with me? Are you with me? That I can't say this is fine if it offends God. And so that's why that verse is so powerful. Point out anything in me that offends you. Live eternally. Don't just be focused on this moment. And then, this gets a little personal. Give generously. Grieve hopefully. Live holy. Think eternally. Give generously. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6. Hey, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't just think about this here right now. Well, moths get to it and vermin destroy it and it drops and it breaks and all the things. Thieves can break in and steal. But he says, think a little bit broader. Think a little bit bigger. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Salvation is coming. There's something bigger than the here and the now, where moths and vermins don't destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. Here's what that hope of salvation does. It helps me to live my life open-handed. It helps me to recognize that everything that I have is placed in my hands by God. And so if God wants to use it and take it out of my hands, well, he can. I don't want to live so close-fisted. I don't want to have this mindset, I've got to have it all right here and right now. That's what the world says. That's what every commercial, every advertisement, every marketing points you to. Every commercial says, you need more. You need to have better. You need to protect it. You need to save it for yourself. You need to build up for yourself. And Jesus invites us to have a bigger perspective, that I can give freely because my real treasure is not in what's in my garage. And my real treasure is not in how many square foot I have. And my real treasure is not in is it new and is it shiny. And I'm not against new. I'm not against shiny. I'm not against better. I'm not against upgrade. I'm not against a vacation. I want that all for you, unless that is where you focus your life. If you focus your life on just I've got to gain for myself here, you're missing it. Because there's treasures that we can store up in heaven. When Brandon and I go on vacation, we love to stay at an Airbnb. It's what we love. We find ourselves the little Airbnb in the mountains and the cabin, and we love it. But here's what we've never done at an Airbnb. We've never purchased furniture for it. Like, we don't go redecorate the Airbnb. We just show up, and we live, and we leave, because we know, well, I'm just here for a little while. And why would I invest something in a place that I'm only gonna be a little while? That's what Jesus invites us to. That's what that helmet of salvation is. Oh, I'm just here for a little while. I'm just here for a moment. And if I spend all of my time investing in the here and the now, well, then I miss out on what's coming. And later, let me tell you, later is longer. Later is longer. And so I want to invest in things that are later. Jesus finished his teaching. He says, where your treasure is, That's where your heart's going to be, and you know that to be true. Because let me prove to you that this is true. Purchase a stock. Just purchase one stock, or purchase some crypto or something. Put some treasure into a stock or into some crypto. Invest into a business. Here's what's going to happen. Your heart's going to be there. Because all of a sudden, you want to know, how's my stock doing? How's that crypto doing? Did it rise or did it fall? You put treasure, and all of a sudden, your heart was there. And so Jesus invites you, why don't you choose to live today generously? Know that nothing lasts forever. And again, I know the world says you got to have more and gather and gather and gather and gather and gather. But here's what some of us have done. And let's just tell ourselves the truth. This isn't to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just, let's just tell ourselves the truth. Some of us have invested so much of our money into momentary things that I've got nothing left to invest in eternal things. I've spent all of my time gaining for myself, and I haven't had any left over to share with anybody else. And I've told you this before, and I really do mean it. This has nothing to do with these two offering baskets that are here. I mean, I think at some point that if you are part of this church and if you're growing and if you're part of what God is doing, then you probably should invest. But if that's something you never choose to do, that's totally fine. It's totally fine. But you need to invest somewhere. You need to have something bigger than just right now. And if it's never in these two baskets, that's okay. But you cannot afford to live for just this moment right now. You've got to give generously. Can I just encourage some of you? Open up your hands. Have a bigger worldview. Put on that helmet of salvation. Here's the last one. See clearly. What are we doing? Because of the helmet of salvation. Well, I grieve hopefully. I live holy. I think eternally. I give generously. And then I can see some things that are clearly. 2 Corinthians says it this way. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Can I just say to some of you this morning, that's what I want for you so much. Because you've been generous and you're living with the holiness in mind and you're giving generously. But man, some of us, we maybe walked in this morning, I'm just losing heart. I'm just about to give up. I don't know if it's worth it. Can I just invite you to put on the helmet of salvation this morning? We don't lose heart. Though outwardly, just this life, we are wasting away. And you know that's true. I mean, just look at yourself in the mirror from 10 years ago. Here's what's true about you. I know you're working out and you're eating healthy and you're doing a great job. And first of all, you look great. But you're wasting away. You just are. You're wasting away. Yet, on the inside, I'm being renewed day by day. Before we read this next verse, you might think to yourself, well, of course, Paul, your life was easy and who's this guy? Paul had a much worse life than you had. Shipwrecked, beaten, jailed, eventually killed for his faith in Jesus. And yet he has the audacity to say, for our light and momentary troubles. Now, I know that your troubles that you're facing right now seem so overwhelming. And I know they seem so big. But Paul says, if you'll put on that helmet of salvation, and if you'll recognize there's something better coming, the trouble that you're facing right now is real and it does seem overwhelming, but in light of eternity, they're light, they're momentary, and they're achieving something that God can use it, an eternal glory, future salvation, that outweighs them all. Here's what the helmet of salvation does. It gives us clarity. In all of those seasons of life, when it's painful and when it's confusing. Some of you might be in that season of life right now, just painful and confusing. And so the helmet of salvation helps me to recognize, yes, it's painful. Yes, it's confusing, but there's also something bigger that's true. There's also something that's lasting. They're light and they're momentary, not because they feel easy, but because they're just brief and small when compared to eternity. Again, later, future, it's longer. Let me finish. Here's why I know you know this is true. Because the human race continues to go on. Let me explain myself. That, why would anybody get pregnant? Like, your feet are swollen and it's painful and you can't sleep and you toss and you turn and you eat weird foods. Like, I mean, you would think that one person did that and going through the birth of pregnancy, you think, no one ever wants to do that ever again. That was miserable. And then what happened? You held your baby. And all of those sleepless nights and the swollen feet and not being able to fit and not being able to sleep and the pain of childbirth and all the discomfort was light and it was momentary because you held a baby. That's what the helmet of salvation is. It's real. I'm not trying to pretend it away, but it's just this moment that I can see that there is something bigger for me. Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on this moment right here. And that's what we do. That's when we don't wear our helmet of salvation. I fix my eyes on this moment right here, right now. It's bad. It couldn't get any worse. I got fired. I got laid off. I got broke up with. I couldn't get pregnant. We're going through a divorce. It's terrible. I agree. It is. But we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but future, what is unseen. Since what is seen is, it's just temporary. It's here and it's gone. But what is unseen is eternal. The author of Hebrews said something very similar. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Listen, some of you, are you swimming through a fog this morning? You just paddling? I just don't know. I just don't know. Is anything fixing our eyes on Jesus? The pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. He did it first. For the joy set before him, he had something in his mind future. He endured. That's what I want for you. I want you to be able to endure. The joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, without hope, without that helmet of salvation, all I can see is the pain that's right in front of me, the confusion that's right in front of me, the things that aren't fair that are going on in my life that's right in front of me. But with that helmet of salvation giving me hope, I can see that not only is things just temporary, but if I'll allow it to, God can make it purposeful. He can use it for something. What did we say at the beginning? That my future hope impacts my present reality. There is something in all of our life impacting my present reality. Your present reality is being impacted. You have to decide, what are you going to allow it to? What is going to impact my present reality? Is it just the overwhelming nature of what's going on in my life today? Well, that's going to impact my reality. If all I focus on is the right here and the now, it impacts my present reality. But future hope, salvation, helmet of salvation, it is bad. And I don't like it. And I wouldn't have asked for it. But instead, it shapes how I live. I don't want to spend my life chasing after momentary things. I don't have to spend my life worried about what if all the things that I've gained and gathered with my money and spent all my money on, what if it gets destroyed? And what if the house gets broke into? Man, I've lived generously, so I've got treasure in heaven. I can live holy, and I know everybody wants me to do this, and I've got this invitation, and it feels so right in the moment, but I've got an appointment with Jesus coming. And so because of my appointment with Jesus, I'm going to change the way that I live today. And yes, there's loss. And yes, we go to funerals. And yes, we're sad. But I grieve with hope. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? That's the question you've got to ask. Where is your hope? Jesus invites you that it can be in him and with him, that your mind can be fixed on something bigger. Put on the helmet of salvation. It'll change. I promise. It'll change the way that you live today. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, would you let this word just be rooted so deeply in our hearts? Because some of us, like Florence, we're swimming and we're doing the best that we can and we're paddling away and we don't feel like we're making any progress. Some of us, we feel like we're going backwards. Some of us, we don't understand. Why would you even let something like this happen? If we're honest, we've kind of losing out on some hope. For some of us, we've just spent our whole life and everything that comes in, I spend it on me. Lord, would you help us to put on that helmet of salvation, to recognize that because of my past salvation, and there's something future coming for me. And so help us to live in light of eternity. Help us make decisions today based on what's coming for us in the future. Lord, for all of us, this pushes us in different directions. All of us need this in different areas. But I pray that your Spirit would make this come alive in our life in whatever way that we need it to. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.